Point of View.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
3 minutes after eight, welcome to Point of View, the Monday edition of Point of View. Today being a Monday, we have a conversation around health. Now, this conversation, I think, is very, very important. We're going to be looking at the high risk of HIV infections in girls and young women aged between 15 and 24. Now, this particular age group is the age group that is at the highest risk in all categories. And we are going to look at why this particular age group is facing the kind of risks that they're facing of HIV infections, and how society has just not been able to support young women. So it is particularly young women. It's not everybody in this age bracket. It's particularly young women. So some really interesting and very important conversations to be had. So we're going to be speaking to an organization with a program that's trying by all means to support young women who are at risk of contracting HIV, and how we can reach them, because you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, but still they remain really, really vulnerable. So what can be done? So there are some interesting innovative things that are happening, and we'll have a conversation with them in a short while. Now, you may be aware that there is a thing called Zimbabwean Exception Permit. This was introduced a couple of years ago. Now, it is going to expire in December. That is according to the Minister, Aaron Motsoaledi. Now, on the conversation with us is going to be the Helen Suzman Foundation, because they've gone. They want to challenge this announcement by the minister that in December, these permits will no longer be valid. So we'll have a conversation with them. We'll also speak to a researcher at UCT from the Institute for Democracy, Citizenship and Public Policy in South Africa to tell us about, you know, what can be done, what this means for citizens of Zimbabweans who've been living in South Africa for all those years. And so let me just start very, very quickly with Christopher Fisher, who is a senior legal researcher at the Helen Suzman Foundation. Christopher, thanks for your time. Good evening.
Good evening to the listeners, and thanks for having me.
So you're taking government to court, and you are saying that this Zimbabwean exemption permit needs to be reviewed. Why?
Well, the crux of our case is that the decision to terminate the ZEP was made without any consultation with the ZEP holders themselves or the civil society groups that support them, and to be frank, also with the South African public at large. The minister sort of went ahead and cancelled the ZEP without involving the parties who I think would be able to give valuable input into the impact of this decision. So I think what we have is an incredibly impactful and prejudicial decision on ZEP holders and South African public at large without a consultation process. So that's the crux of the case.
Dr. Sikhanyiso Masuku is a postdoctoral research fellow at UCT at the Institute for Democracy, Citizenship and Public Policy in Africa. Dr. Masuku, thanks for your time. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Is that enough? Is that a good enough reason for the Helen Suzman Foundation to be taking government to court?
Well, I think there could be a challenge, because you see, apart from the fact of how maybe the government is doing this quite reactionary to the political and other economic factors that are really pushing them to prove a more or display a more tougher stance towards immigration, there is also the risk of setting the wrong legal precedent as far as special permit holders are concerned. If they have to have their stay further extended for the purposes of regularizing their stay or otherwise, purely on the reasoning that they have been model immigrants. So the courts might want to avoid a situation where LSP holders, for instance, because Lesotho also has special permit holders in the country, around 90,000 of them. Mm-hmm. So you might want to avoid a precedent whereby maybe when the clock strikes for them, they also demand that they have their stay extended. So I think it's a matter of precedent that might be a challenge.
Can we just maybe, for the purposes of those who don't really understand the circumstances that we had this special permit in the first place, just please frame it for us, the Zimbabwean exception permit and how far back it dates, please.
Oh, perfect. Currently, South Africa hosts around like 270,000 refugees and asylum seekers, of whom 84% come from the sub-Saharan part of Africa. Now, apart from that statistic, we have those pursuing the asylum route. Apart from the statistic of those that are pursuing the asylum route towards legal residence in the country, they are those who have a special permit. And their special permit was granted in 2015. There are around 90,000 who are beneficiaries of that special permit. In Zimbabwe's special permit was first granted in 2009, and are almost 180,000 Zimbabweans were beneficiaries of that special permit. Now, the situation that necessitated the granting of a special permit, you know, there was a crisis in Zimbabwe in 2008, and then there was an influx of Zimbabweans in South Africa. So, but naturally, you know, also the special permit beneficiaries hold economic rights to work and live in the country, but I don't think it was envisioned that almost 18 years after the conditions that had necessitated the granting of the special permit that were, you know, obtaining in Zimbabwe would still be obtaining, and Zimbabwe would continue to produce immigrants towards South Africa. So that's a bit of the background on how the special permits came to be. So it is 13 years old, and if you look at Lesotho in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe almost has twice the number of special permit beneficiaries in the country.
Well, I mean, one could argue the size of the country warrants that, but is it really fair to say that the government did not foresee that these permit holders would stay long if they were able to? We've been engaging in what we've called ourselves a quiet diplomacy. We've been a part of that. Did we not expect that this was going to be the result?
Well, I might just have this to say. You see, I've already given a background of how South Africa is host to asylum seekers and special permit holders and, you know, many other people who have pursued different ways of staying in the country. So we cannot say that South Africa has not been accommodated towards Zimbabwe, especially for as long as the permit has been extended, something which is over basically a decade. So there is no doubt that South Africa has been more than accommodating. But I, like I said, I do not think that it was ever envisioned that 13 years later there would still be a need. I think it was imagined that eventually the political and economic situation in Zimbabwe would improve either organically or through other means. But unfortunately, that has not been the case. So I feel like the government is now just not using the carrot method anymore. They're now trying to use the stick. And unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves. Mm.
Christopher, you know, just from what Dr. Masuku was saying, that he says that, you know, perhaps people didn't envisage that so many years later there would still be this many Zimbabweans here because things may have changed in Zimbabwe. You are not saying that this must remain permanent. Are you saying that, or are you saying that there should have been a different way in which we should have dealt with this situation? What is the alternative? What could we have done better?
Well, I think that's right. So our position is not that the ZEP must carry on into perpetuity. It's certainly not what we're seeking the court to say or find in our favor. I think in terms of what we could have expected from the minister is a process that took the time to adequately assess the risks to the lives and livelihoods of ZEP holders and South Africa and South Africans themselves when making this decision. So Dr. Masuku pointed out that these permits were introduced in response to a reality, the reality of migration. Mm. The migration of Zimbabweans had hit South Africa. Home affairs was overwhelmed, and we had to deal with this. And the way we dealt with it was by giving permits to people and regularizing them. That was in their interest, and it was in South Africa's interest as well. Mm-hmm. So what the process could have done is just to assess whether or not we have really come far enough from 2009 to do away with that sensible policy of regularizing Zimbabwe. And I think in Dr. Masuku's comments, you know, in saying that the government didn't foresee that we would still need them, what's important to realize is that whether it was foreseen or not, we do still need them. Zimbabwe hasn't returned to prosperity. It hasn't returned to a state where these 178,000 holders can return and build lives in a dignified, humane way. Mm. And what we need is a process that really sits down and tries to solve the hard problems of balancing South Africa's sovereign right to govern its territory and the very real reality that migration from Zimbabwe is here to stay. And I think that's a tough question. I don't think it's going to be an easy one for the minister or government or South Africans at large to answer. But it should be one that we make an effort to answer. And I think that is what we are arguing that the ZDP holders are entitled to at the end of the day.
Dr. Masuku, Minister Motsoaledi is saying that the permit faces a plethora of limitations, even for permit holders in South Africa. Your take on that, are there very plausible reasons why this is not feasible anymore, the actual permit that we sit with? And perhaps were there things that needed to be adjusted with the actual permit?
Well, I think that it is important not to look at the special permit issue in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. All these developments are all part of an immigration stance mm-hmm. That is being adopted by the government. I mean, it's important to know the background because mm-hmm. I think faced with the convergence of both economic and political factors, the immigration issue has become very emotive in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We have seen how the 2021 municipal election saw parties whose manifestos promised a tougher stance mm-hmm. on immigration gaining ground in mm-hmm. delivering some blows to the ANC, for mm-hmm. instance, Action SA's wins in Soweto. Mm-hmm. So while the SA government, Zimbabwe exemption permit cancellation can be called reactionary to that and other factors, there is no doubt that there is a growing sentiment that a failure to be more mm-hmm. tough on the immigration front will be a disservice to the ANC's political lifespan, especially when the electorate will make a decision based on this come 2024. Mm-hmm. So I think it is all a systematic attempt by the government to be seen as doing something, mm-hmm. To be doing something. It is not just special permits, you know. We have also seen the Department of Home Affairs in January 2022, there was a withdrawal of waivers granting permanent residence to graduates from South African tertiary institutions mm. In the area of critical skills. There was also a draft skills, critical skills list published for comments in February 2021 last year, which was exceedingly shrunk and had a lot of occupations removed compared to the previous list. So there is an attempt to signal a paradigm shift on the immigration front by the government. And, you know, this is pretty much along the same lines that seen immigration becoming a topical issue mm. in other countries as well. Mm. Yeah.
Christopher, I mean, your foundation says that you've faced threats since you have brought this to court, and maybe to add on to what Dr. Masuku said, it's not only just the ANC. When you look at really across the board, from the left to the right, there does seem to be the sentiment, anti-immigrant sentiment, you know, just growing in the country, I guess, bar the EFF. Do you think this timing is linked to that?
I think it's very difficult to ignore the context, the political context of the decision. It certainly comes at a time where voters are rewarding parties that have anti-immigrant stances. And I think that we must be able to assess the minister's decision in that context. Mm. So reacting to that kind of politics is quite dangerous. And I think that that's why it's important for us to approach the legal system and get a firm articulation from our legal norms as to what the legal norms require of all political parties, whether it's the ANC afraid of losing votes or the newer parties trying to gain votes. I think it's important that we understand what the legal landscape looks like, because that'll apply across the board. Mm. So I think that we can't ignore the political context, mm. and I think that's all the more all the more reason why a legal solution here is appropriate.
Yeah. Kaboto Mapena is a chairperson of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa who I'd like to introduce to this conversation as well. Thank you so much, Mr. Mapena, for making time for us this evening. So as a chairperson of the Zimbabwean community in South Africa, just by way of example, what does this mean for a South African, a bigger pardon, the Zimbabwean who's holding this permit, who has been here for the past 13 years? What does this mean for them and their family?
Thank you so much for having us and the evening to your listeners. Well, there are three categories of people that benefited to the special permit. Firstly, the first category was those that came around in 1994 to 1997. Mm-hmm. They didn't qualify for any other mainstream visa. Mm-hmm. They to acquire South African documents. These are the people that were then granted an amnesty in 2010. Mm-hmm. You then had those that were running from political persecution in 2000. At the time, Zimbabweans were not being granted an asylum document. They were only granted from May in 2002. They were then granted an asylum document. And then you had your economic migrants who were coming because of economic collapse, who then were using an asylum document as a permit to find work because they could not qualify for any other visa provided for in the Immigration Act. So all these groups, because they did not qualify, then the amnesty in 2010 was directed to those that had fraudulently acquired South African documents and those that were using an asylum document as a permit instead for what it is for, and then, of course, those that were in the country undocumented. So because they could not qualify for other visas, the situation has not changed. They do not qualify up to now. So when the cabinet on the 24th of November 2021 says they have to move to other mainstream visas, they are unable to do so. Very few have managed to submit their applications. This also was demonstrated by the Director General of the Department of Home Affairs when he wrote to every ZEP holder reminding them that they need to apply for these visas. The reason why he had to write, it was realized on their part, we think, that a few people were applying because they do not qualify under the Immigration Act as provided for. Now, the only people that qualify are either married to South Africans or married to someone on a PR. And the second challenge that we have had is that some people were qualifying in the critical skills before they were revised in the first week of February. Now there's a new critical skills list which say your artisans, like your mechanic, diesel mechanic, do not qualify. Mm-hmm. So this is the challenge that we are dealing with. So in short, to answer your question, it is a crisis within those that are holders of ZEP because they will not qualify. They've got school-going children. Their families are dependent on them for their support back home. So it is a huge crisis.
Let me come back to you, Christopher, and ask you, where we sit now, is it likely that this legal challenge is at least going to get government to reconsider? You know, have you even tried before going to the legal route? Had you tried? And I believe a couple of you are not, you're not alone. A couple of you are going to support this legal challenge. Had you tried to engage with government on this at all?
Well, we certainly hope that the legal case will be successful. And in terms of engaging with the minister, the Helen Sussman Foundation hasn't done so directly, but we've launched our action in a context where other civil society actors have tried their utmost to speak to the minister and to create a process that is more fair to the ZEP holders. Mm. And unfortunately, from the minister, there's been a lot of pushback. There is other litigation related to this matter, and in the course of that, the minister expressed that he didn't believe he had a duty to consult at all. Mm. So I think that betrayed quite a cynical view on the part of the minister towards consulting with their ZEP holders. And I think that so long as that is the level of engagement, I think that the legal challenge, we certainly hope the legal challenge has grounds to go.
Nkabuto Mabena is a chairperson of the Zimbabwean community in South Africa. Mr. Mabena, just maybe, you know, by way of, again, example, you've really given us a good picture of who these people are, who falls under this category. But what will it mean for families who have been rooted here for so long?
We are talking of people who, some of them, have been here for the last 20 years. It is not about being in the country in possession of the special permit, because, like I said, people were using other documentation before the permits were issued. So you have children that are born to these parents who have not been to Zimbabwe, who consider themselves South Africans. And the challenge that we are faced with now is that most of these children, they are now major, they are above 17 years, they need to apply for the citizenship in South Africa. We are constantly being told that it is closed where in the Department of Home Affairs, where the application is happening. They are having difficulties in accessing university education. They are having difficulties in accessing employment because they do not have IDs, because they are born in South Africa. So it is going to affect a lot of families. You have people that have investments in South Africa that are now expected to return back by the 1st of January 2023 back to Zimbabwe because they do not qualify. So it is a crisis indeed.
Servius is calling from Tswane. Servius, you're saying you are affected by this decision by government. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, that's correct. My story is long, but I'll try to make it short. I got into this because I qualify for critical skills permit, but on the day that I was supposed to get that permit, my passport got lost at the Home Affairs, right? So it took about a year for that issue to be resolved through the directive of the Deputy Director General. Right. My passport was then replaced. And when I went back to get my critical skills permit, I was told that my documents were lost. And that was in 2009. Right. Then when these permits were introduced, I was then advised to go for this permit. And the challenge was that we could not move to any other permits on those from the DZP to the ZSP. Right. And in 2017, I applied to be moved to critical skills, but my application was declined because that permit could not allow us to do so. So had they given us that opportunity to move during that 10 or 11-year period, we could have moved to other permits. But just giving us 1 year for us to move is very difficult. Now, what did they do? Beginning of the year, during that time, I did a course. I did an advanced diploma for me to be able to qualify for the permit that I wanted for. Now, they then came back with a new list, and they raised the bar for qualification of that permit, meaning then I need to study within that this 1 year for me to raise my bar to get to where they have raised it for me to qualify for critical skills. And this is one of the challenges that we are facing.
Dr. Masuku, I was just listening to what it means for families and, for instance, for children who've been born here. Are you able to just maybe advise us? Is there clarity on what then should be the fate of children who've been born of parents who are holding this permit but were born here, have never lived in Zimbabwe? What happens to those children? Dr. Masuku?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry to say that I'm not a legal practitioner, but what I do know is in South Africa, you automatically qualify for South African citizenship only if you are born in South Africa and at least have one of your parents who is a South African citizen or a South African permanent resident permit holder. So I believe that it is standard practice to issue a confirmation of birth, I think, at the hospital for you to then go and at your respective embassy to then acquire birth registration document for your child. So in essence, this children born in South Africa by foreigners who are not permanent residents, or at least if none of them were married to a South African citizen, then those children are legally foreigners as well. We've had the same cases with refugee groups that we've worked with, whom, upon giving birth to their children, the children also join them in the asylum application process for as long as they do not hold Section 24 permits, which means they are legally recognized as refugees in South Africa. But what I just want to say is this, I feel like if the government does proceed in this route and goes on to not really change its approach and be more lenient, I feel that they are just going to push this population into the asylum system, where most people have been, going to if they failed to find another legal way of legally staying in South Africa. Now, the asylum system is ridden with its own challenges. So, it's currently designed to for only like 50,000 applications a year, but it has had to grapple with numbers as high as over 200,000, especially in 2009, and I think 2015 it was around over 60,000 again. So, the asylum application process currently also has a lot of rejections. I think around 96% rejection, which shows that there are a lot of people who are not maybe supposed to be using that route of asylum seeking, but have no other option left. So this is where, unfortunately, they risk sending these people. That's what the situation that they risk condemning them to. And unfortunately, if that fails, then you know they might also end up being undocumented in the country, which will make them even harder to manage and account for. You know, when you know you talk about planning issues, social welfare protection, and all other issues. So I feel like this will create more problems than solutions. Such a hard stance, and possibly an extension of time indeed for those who do qualify for extensions. If it can be granted, I think it can at least mitigate some of the consequences that I see coming from this.
I mean, as you're saying, just to belabor the point, I think we've got about a million or over a million people who are just waiting in the wings there to be attended to as asylum seekers.
Yes, and currently, actually, there was a study in 2019 which saw that the study was in Western Cape, Limpopo, and Gauteng, but they saw that over 40% of migrant children in those provinces were undocumented. So when people are undocumented, it is a dangerous situation to have, you know. So it's quite a precarious situation that we find ourselves in.
Of course, those who are declined have the option of going through an appeals board. But I mean, that appeals board only sits twice in the year, and there's only one appeals board, which kind of defeats the purpose on its own. Christopher, do we know, do you have better clarity on how the children, the South African children, now South African children born of foreigners, in this instance, Zimbabwean parents, whether that status impacts their visa application at all? Is there any consideration there, Christopher?
I think the position of Dr. Masuku is just about right. I think the status of the parents will determine the status of the children. And I think what we've tried to do in our application, on top of arguing for fair process, is we've made a particular point of how this affects the rights of children. Children are very vulnerable in these scenarios. Many times they're going to be of school-going age and having to be plucked from school and taken to new environments that are not going to be terribly stress-free, and they certainly aren't going to be the first choice of any of these parents. So we do try and highlight the particular plight of children, and I think children are going to be affected in a special way. And I think that considering their best interest is going to be going to be crucial in figuring out the legality of this decision. Mm.
So, in other words, we are almost assuming that it just goes without saying, if the parents have to go back home, the children must just follow.
Precisely. Okay. I think that's practically going to happen in most cases. In most cases, the parents earn an income in South Africa, and they pay those school fees with that South African income. Mm. And once that goes away, the children will have to lose that pool, and then parents are going to have to count on whatever livelihood they can form in Zimbabwe to recreate that family life, and that's going to be very difficult.
Dr. Masuku, just maybe diplomatically, how is Zimbabwe reacting to this? Are they getting themselves ready for the return of the Zimbabweans that have been sitting here?
I wouldn't speak with much authority on that, but all I can use really for, you know, as any benchmark as to the Zimbabwean government's treatment of such issues is they are pretty much in denial of, you know, the humanitarian situation that might unfold and face their citizens who are based in South Africa if, you know, suddenly they are left with no option but to, you know, go back home after investing so many years, you know, in South Africa. You know, I feel like, in actual sense, the government sort of does not ignore or turn a blind eye to these developments in South Africa affecting, you know, their citizens by chance. But it is a systematic way of dealing with this because, in a way, it all basically exposes their shortcomings, you know, political shortcomings, because they are basically in foreign land because of a mismanaged economy. So I feel that you know, we are witnessing somewhat of a paradigm shift even on the, you know, political front itself, considering how, and you know, you see how the ANC used to treat you know, their colleagues and for lack of a better term, in ZANU-PF, when it ANC was very much accommodative of Zimbabweans, and it would not you know, pinpoint exactly the causes of the mass migration from Zimbabwe being political issues mostly and economic issues. And South Africa was, in a way, blamed by many people for giving ZANU-PF a lifespan. But we are almost in a confrontational stance now. If you look at Motsoaledi's, you know, the minister's altercations in some instances with Zimbabwean officials regarding issues on border management, you know, the relations are not as free-flowing and as smooth as before. So all of that, obviously, when the elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. And now you are seeing the consequences of those shifts, affecting, as we can see in this particular instance, there's a Zimbabwean exemption permit holders. Mm. So I think it's a whole lot of issues, and the politics also comes into play because the ANC is fighting for its own political survival. And we all know the elections are in 2024, and South Africans feel that the ANC has been way too lenient and easygoing and on the immigration front.
Mm. Mr. Mapena, if not government, is civil society in Zimbabwe preparing for the return of the Zimbabweans that have been in South Africa?
While we are in Zimbabwe, we are battling with the bread and butter issues, and this return of Zimbabweans back to Zimbabwe, while in South Africa, it is going to be a burden because families depend on Zimbabwe, Dhaka in South Africa, and in the rest of the diaspora. Even the Minister of Finance in Zimbabwe does recognize this in his budget, that remittances have been increasing since since we had Zimbabwe that were on special permits and in the rest of the diaspora. But the point I want to also emphasize is that the challenge that we have is that the current Minister of Home Affairs in Zimbabwe does not understand the question of migration between Zimbabwe and South Africa. When you had a minister from Matabeleland in Zimbabwean government, they understood, because a person like Kembo Mohati, who comes from that bridge, understood the dynamics or the relationship between the people of Zimbabwe and the people of South Africa. So this is why Kembo Mohati would take it upon himself to actually come to South Africa and then negotiate for the renewal of the permit. He played an active role in 2010. He played an active role in 2014. Even in 2017, he did play an active role to ensure that the permits were renewed, because they understood that the people of Matabeleland in the main, economically, they depend on South Africa for survival. Now you have Minister Kazembe, who then sees holders of Zimbabwean exemption permit as members of the opposition. So therefore, it does not have any interest, because to him, trying to engage the South African government on behalf of Zimbabweans who are holders of ZEP, he thinks is advancing the cause of the opposition members. That is the dilemma that you are in. But also the second point is that there's a court judgment on children born in South Africa. We know that a minor assumes the citizenship of their parents, but when you get to 17, which in the most cases we do have, the court judgment says that person applies for South African citizenship. This is the dilemma that we are having. I was not really talking about these people that are minors. And then the very last point is that the numbers have decreased. You remember that in 2010, 245,000 permits were issued. And then now the minister says it is 172,000. So there's been a decrease of 73,000 people who were initially holders of the exemption permits, but you have fallen out of the system. Mm-hmm. Either they have gone back to Zimbabwe, unfortunately some might have passed you on, and the others, for one reason or another, are no longer in the system. So the numbers every year they've been keeping on reducing. So this is what we were saying. In our view, it was important that the people that are already in the system, because they've also been part of the economy for the past decade or so, they should be allowed to continue, because they are then having other Zimbabweans, the migrants who are not documented, who are working. And what we see in our community is that the target by government now is those that are in the system, as opposed to those that are not in the system.
Let me quickly take a call from Makgabo. Thanks for your patience, Makgabo. You're calling from Boksburg. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for calling. Have you got the radio on, Makgabo? Please switch it off.
Okay.
Thank you. Now I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so I've been listening to the whole conversation, and you know what? It's truly heartbreaking that obviously that people have to go back home after being here for 20 years, and but have we ever thought about what about South Africa? If everyone, how does everything impact South Africa? If we say, for example, everyone goes home in December, how will the healthcare be impacted? You know. How will the economy be impacted? We know that unemployment is, high. How will that be impacted? So we should look at it in both ways. And also, if more Zimbabweans come to South Africa, what other African countries are helping them? We, unfortunately, I don't think it's fair for all the Zimbabweans to come here.
No, but that's not true, Makgabo. Zimbabweans are all over the world. Zimbabweans are not only in South Africa.
Not all Zimbabweans
have come to South Africa. Zimbabweans have been all over the world. There are many, many Zimbabweans in other parts of the world.
100%, but the majority, where are they?
But that's not true. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that fact is not true. Zimbabweans are spread around the world. So I think let's take away, facts that are not true and make the point fine. But it's not true that Zimbabweans are all here. That's not true. Zimbabweans are dispersed in Europe. They're dispersed in many parts of the world.
But my thing is just how will this impact us South Africans?
So in your view, how will it impact South Africans? Give me your world, your worldview. How do you think it will impact South Africans after December?
I mean, obviously, it'll ease up the health system. It'll ease up unemployment. There'll be, those are the small things that we'll see like differences in, to be honest. Let's just be honest.
So do you think the South Africans that are, I mean, the Zimbabweans that are here with this permit, virtue of this coming to an end, are just automatically all going to go back home? You don't see the fact that a lot of them can remain here illegally, like many other foreigners?
So that's what I'm saying. If we start with this, then we're going forward. There's a way forward.
Yeah, but we also know that the system has not been able to. There are a lot of undocumented foreigners here, and that has not been dealt with in a manner that you can say that it has made a difference. Because the issue, as Mr. Mabena was saying, you will find that there are people who just remain. And I think Dr. Masuku also said that. Christopher said it. When you make it impossible to document people, that doesn't guarantee they're leaving. They'll just stay undocumented, which is a bigger threat.
Yeah, well, I think that's the next step after this is taken for Aaron to see how can we manage the undocumented foreigners.
Makhabo there calling from Boksburg. Anonymous, you're calling from Tswane. Good evening. Thanks for holding.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Point of View. Good evening.
Okay. All right. I'm going to be straightforward with most of my concerns. Mm. It's the amount of investment that's been made by people who have been in the country for just over 12 years on the ZTP permit. For other people, it's been longer than that.
Yes.
Why hasn't anyone addressed the issue of pensions?
Mm.
The looming freezing of accounts, what happens to retirement annuities?
Mm.
Did they consider that when making this decision?
I mean, I don't know how much, Christopher, for instance, let me start with you. You know, these things, which I'm sure are things that you're going to present in your court papers, have you had any response by government on these matters?
Well, not on details that the caller has raised. We've only received a notice of intention to oppose our court action, so nothing in the way of substantial argument just yet.
Mm. Let me ask Dr. Masuku, can you shed any light at all from what you know?
I really can't comment much on the portability of pensions or any other form of social security they might have accrued. But I would very much like to correct maybe the caller before this one on a bit of, inaccurate statistics and perceptions on, like, the actual the way the South African labor market is statistically distributed. There's actually a study in 2012. Those were the latest figures, unfortunately, when they found out that, non-immigrants make up 96% of the South African labor market. And, out of a total working population of around over 33 million, only 1.2 million are international immigrants. So that means only 4%. Immigrants, with around 14% being domestic migrants. People just migrating maybe from one province to the other. So it is not true. It is not factual that the termination of the special or the exemption permits will suddenly unlock, like, these millions of jobs or opportunities that have been, taken away by the perceived, opportunity mongers. Because even if you look at the statistics that I mentioned, we're saying around 270,000 asylum seekers and refugees and 90,000 special permit holders, Zimbabweans, and Lesotho citizens Lesotho permit holders, special permit holders, and then Zimbabwe, maybe close to 180,000, compared to a country where there's 59 million people, then that is really a drop in the ocean. So that is, I just wanted to make mention that as a matter of fact, that, you know, that is not factual.
All right. I'm going to just maybe, you know, by way of allowing us to wrap this conversation and ask, Mr. Mabena, your the people that you've been talking to, you know, I see that they're not applying for the visas. And we'll talk to maybe Christopher, you know, to get some of the sense of why people are not doing that. But on the ground, why do people resist, you know, taking this, I guess you'll call it an opportunity to then apply for the visa?
The difficulty, as we said earlier on, is that the people do not qualify. Because remember, the holders of ZEP permits are people of low skill. So how does a domestic worker, for instance, begin to apply? That is the challenge. We are dealing with employers on a daily basis who are asking how are they going to assist their employees to apply. They do not qualify. If you check the requirements in the website of the VFS for a general working visa, if you check the website of the Home Affairs Department, they simply do not qualify. People that do qualify, the majority of them moved from special permit to other visas. From 2014, we've been assisting such individuals to move. So when Cabinet made the decision, the majority of people that are still holders of ZEP do not qualify to move to other visas, except those that maybe are married to South Africans. And I also spoken about the revised critical skills list. And then my last point is that the challenge we also have is with respect to Provident Fund. We are told by labor experts that you cannot get your benefits while you're still engaged in employment. So you need your contract to come to an end, say, by 31st of December. Mm-hmm. So by the 1st of January 2023, you need to start the process of applying. Your bank accounts will be frozen. So all these things are not taken into consideration at the moment. So we do not know as we move forward how the Department of Labor and the Department of Home Affairs are going to deal with this question. And then lastly, less than 1% of ZEP holders constitute the South African labor force. So the problem with the populism is that people are made to believe out there that if you do not renew ZEP, then the majority of South Africans are going to be employed, and a certain unemployment is going to drop from 34% to about 17%, which is not accurate.
Are the people that are sitting, this category of people who are sitting with this permit, is there a sense of denial? What do you think is actually going to happen if government, you know, remains with this and nothing changes, and the Helen Suzman Foundation is not successful? What do you think is likely to happen? Are people getting ready to leave?
When people are, there are very few who have indicated that they want to leave. This is why some of them are inquiring in terms of their properties, whether they are going to pay duty. We are still engaging the Zimbabwean government to say, are people going to pay duty for the properties that they acquired in South Africa? But the majority are still hoping that a government might actually review its position. They do not know how they are going to start a new life, because the burden that they have is that they have school-going children in South Africa, and to start to transfer their children to Zimbabwe, it is difficult.
So are we then to assume that many will remain, even if it means remaining illegally here?
Well, I would not say so, but there's this sense that people are not very sure of what will happen come the 31st of December 2022. People are also waiting for the Minister of Home Affairs is talking about the amendment of the Immigration Act. People are saying maybe something might come out of it, because people read and understood the white paper on international migration as gazetted in 2017, which understood or which recognized that the people of Lower Skelly within the SADC region do come to South Africa. And there were proposals in the white paper gazetted in 2017 on how to deal with those people of low skin. So what is not clear is whether those proposals in the white paper on international migration are going to be thrown out or are going to be considered as Parliament is amending the Immigration Act.
Christopher, your parting shot, I guess, we wait for the courts to tell us what's the way forward. But, you know, your last remarks?
Well, I think the last remark is just to echo what Mr. Mabana said about perhaps why many LEP holders aren't migrating, and that's because there's no incentive to migrate. Mm. And that's because many of those LEP holders won't qualify for a visa under the normal regularization process. And I think that what that means is that the minister's decision is effectively a decision to place two choices in front of South Africa is to confront the reality of having 178,000 or thereabouts undocumented Zimbabweans by the end of the year, or face the moral and the financial and the governmental challenges in forcing these people to go home. And I think that is something that South Africans should think about quite a lot. And I think, you know, maybe my final comment is just to sort of address the previous caller who spoke about what about South Africans and all of this. And I think that it's not going to be not quite clear exactly where our interests end and where the Zimbabwean migrant or ZEP holders begin because of the contribution that the ZEP holders have made to the economy over their stay in South Africa. It's not going to be very clear at all that for every ZEP holder there's a potential South African job once they leave because those ZEP holders may be employers themselves. They may be providing income to other South Africans as customers of their businesses. They may be nurses or teachers in our schools supporting vital services to South African people. So I think that in assessing what this decision is going to do and who it's going to hurt, the notion of South African interests shouldn't be considered too narrowly. I think we need a broader lens, and we need and that's I think what we ultimately seek from the minister to give us that broader lens to assess the impact of this decision.
Dr. Masuku, your parting shot.
Well, maybe just something that might shed a bit of light on your previous question when you asked me about social security. In retention and transferability. I think that the rights to social security and unemployment benefits and so forth are enshrined in international conventions on migrant workers. So that is a legal right. But however, based on the input from one of the speakers, it seems that the people who are going to be mostly affected by this are those who are mostly on the lower tier of the skills pyramid, those who managed to self-actualize since migrated to other forms of visas. So I would imagine from the input that I'm getting, it would probably be mostly people who are irregularly employed, casually employed, and maybe some were self-employed. So I don't think the issue of social security and transferability will affect them so much. These are people who are investing in actual property. That's why you see this intention to see if they can bring back their property and goods back to Zimbabwe, just maybe as a parting shot, I think that the government has gone in on this issue in a very brute manner, but I also do not see the likelihood of a paradigm shift in this new stance that they've taken, because like I've mentioned, it is on the back of a lot of political and economic factors that are, determining demanding a much more tougher stance on immigration. So I feel that we are going to see many more tougher proclamations on the immigration front, and we might as well brace ourselves for that. That's my parting shot.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time.
Point of View, Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.